Our second scripture reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And I invite you again to hear the Word of God. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So let's talk about French fries. I love French fries. Like, it doesn't matter what kind. Waffle fries, curly fries, crinkle fries, sweet potato fries, even the kinds that I don't like, I will still eat. Like those really skinny shoestring fries that they're just too thin, they don't hold any heat, they get cold right away. Or the big steak fries that are way too thick and make you feel like you're eating a whole baked potato. Or even the fries at Wendy's that used to be good, but then they changed the recipe and now they're all salty and just really gross. I will still eat them. I don't care. Like, if they are sitting in front of me, I will eat them. I like them so much, in fact, that I don't like to share them. This was always a thing with me and Jen early in our marriage. We'd go out to eat, and she'd say, "Why don't we just split an order of fries?" And I would be like, "Oh." Like, my disdain for that idea was visible. Or if I had fries with my meal, but she didn't, and she'd say, "Can I have some of your fries?" I would be like, I'm going to eat them. It's my dinner. So I always hated sharing my fries. I would take hers or yours, but no one else is getting any of mine. And the reason for that, the reason I didn't like to share them, it was like, okay, what if you eat some of my fries, and then they're all gone, and I'm still hungry? I didn't like to share them because I had this fear that there would not be enough. So this is how I was from the time that I was little. Like, this was a childhood thing all the way up until I had children. Because kids don't ask if they can have some of your fries. They just take them. And what I discovered through that was, oh, he took some of my fries, and now they're all gone, and I'm okay. There was enough. Probably didn't need to eat all of them anyway. I remember this one time when our oldest son, Brandon, was 2. We were having dinner, and I had finished all of my fries, but I was still a little bit hungry. There weren't any left. I asked Jen, she said, "No, that's all that we made." And so Brandon saw all of this, and he took one of the fries off of his plate and reached it out to me and said, "Here, go." His generosity, this act of love, just melted me. And so now, they don't even have to ask me for fries. Like, I will give them without them even asking. I volunteer, "Hey, you want a fry?" I'm handing them out. And I have no problem splitting an order of fries with Jen or letting her have some of mine, because I have experienced this generosity, and I know, I trust, that there will be enough. It is so easy in life to operate under this fear that there is not enough. You know, there's not enough time to do everything that I need to do. I'm just so busy. This is a crazy week. I don't have enough time to do all of this. There's not enough money. It's really tight right now. I don't know how we're going to make this work. We just need more. I'm not smart enough or skilled enough to do that. Or it's getting harder physically and mentally for me to do this. I don't have enough ability. There aren't enough jobs or work to go around. There's not enough security to keep us safe. We need to tighten things up. The people of Israel experienced this. God sets them free from slavery in Egypt, delivers them from Pharaoh's army. We heard that story last week. And now they are 2.5 months into this long journey across the wilderness back to their home when they realize we don't have enough food. I mean, they took what they could when they left Egypt, but they're in the desert. This dry, rocky wilderness. It's not like they can just plant some crops or catch some fish or go to a grocery store. They're in trouble. And they start complaining to Moses, "Why'd you bring us out here? I mean, we may have been slaves in Egypt, but at least we had food to eat. We should have stayed there. We're going to die out here." So God hears that and says, "I'm going to bring down quails into your camp each night, and I'm going to rain down bread from heaven each day so that you will have your fill of meat and bread, enough for everyone every day." In the face of their fears that there is not enough, God provides enough. And likewise, in the midst of our fears and anxieties that we don't have enough time or money or ability or any number of other things, God is saying, "No, there's enough. I have given you enough time to do everything that I am calling you to do. Maybe not everything you want to do, so let's talk about priorities. You have enough money. Maybe not for everything you want, but for everything you need. You have enough ability and intelligence to do everything that I am calling you to do, because it's not actually about how strong and smart and capable you are. It's about trusting that I am at work in you. There's enough work for everyone if you'll just treat each other fairly. There's enough forgiveness for everyone, for you and for this person who has hurt you. There is enough love for everyone, including your enemies," which kind of takes care of the security thing. "Just trust in my ability to provide exactly what you need." Now we hear that, and it sounds good, but there is a part of us that still says, you know, there are some people, a lot of people, who do not have enough. People without homes or health care or any money. I mean, around 25,000 children in the world will die of starvation today. Where's their manna from heaven? Where is their enough? And God says, "Oh, there's enough food for everyone if you'll just stop taking more than you need and throwing away what's left. I've made enough for everyone in this world. Where's there enough? You have it." Jesus starts telling a parable by saying the kingdom of heaven is like. He's not just talking about what life is like in heaven after we die. He's talking about when God rules and reigns on earth the way that God does in heaven. When our lives are lived under the authority of God. This is what that will look like, and he tells a story. He says it's like a landowner who goes out about 6 a.m., hires some laborers to work in his vineyard. He agrees to pay them a denarius for their work. goes back out at 9 o'clock, hires some more, and at noon, hires some more, at 3 o'clock, some more, and then at 5 o'clock, he goes out, sees some more, and says to them, look, just come and give me 1 hour of good work. That's all I ask. And when it comes time to pay them, he pays them all the same. The ones who worked 1 hour get the same as those who worked 12 hours. Well, that's not fair. Right? I mean, if you've been working out in the hot sun, breaking your back all day long, and someone else comes in and just kind of helps you clean up at the end of the day, shouldn't you get more than them? So the workers complain to this landowner that this isn't fair. And the landowner says, what's not fair? I gave you what I said I was going to give you. I gave you what we agreed upon. What do you care what I give them? It's mine. I can do with it what I want to. There is enough for all of you. This parable is not about fairness. It is about God's goodness and generosity. Grace is not about getting what you deserve. It is about getting what you do not deserve, what you have done nothing to deserve, but it is given to you anyway out of love by God. Both of these stories, manna in the wilderness and Jesus' parable, these are stories of God providing enough for everyone. And this is born out of God's goodness and generosity and love. And so Jesus says to live in the kingdom of heaven, under the rule and the reign and authority of God, means that we do what God does, living in ways that reflect God's goodness and generosity and love to others, ensuring that everyone gets not what they deserve, but what they need to live and to be whole and to know that they are loved. It's not just that God provides enough time and money and food and love for us on an individual level, personal level, but that there is enough to share with those who are in need. It's about God's goodness to us, and because we experience that goodness and that generosity and love, we are good and generous and loving to others. Because we trust that God is going to provide us with everything that we need. These stories show us that God hears complaints born out of fear and anxiety and injustice and hunger and lack. God hears that and God responds with grace and goodness and generosity. And the question for us is, will we? Will we hear the complaints and cries of our neighbors born out of fear and anxiety and injustice and hunger and lack? And will we respond in a way that provides for their needs? Will we respond by saying, even though I am incredibly busy right now and I do not have enough time, I can give some of my time to you because you need it. And I trust that God provides. And God has given me enough time to do everything that I need to do, and this is what I need to do. Even though things are tight and I don't have enough money, I can take some of what I do have and give it to you. Because I trust that God provides and God has given me enough to do everything that I need to do. Even though I don't know if I can do this thing, I'm going to give it a shot because it can help this person. And I trust that God provides, and God will give me the strength and the ability to do what God is calling me to do. I know a woman named Mickey who used to be a special education teacher. And there was a girl in her class one day who didn't have a pencil. And so she's over there trying to help her out. And she notices that this boy sitting at a desk across from her has two pencils lined up right in the corner of his desk. And so she asks the boy, can she borrow one of your pencils? And she told me this story. This little boy, like, his face just lit up and he got so excited and he looks at her and says, that's why I have two. God has given us enough to do everything that God calls us to do. Enough
time, enough energy and ability, enough money, enough food, enough love, not just for us, but for everyone. We can either live in worry and fear that there is not enough, or we can live in ways that say, that's why I have two. Amen. Gracious God, your generosity alleviates our fears that there is not enough. But it is so easy to forget. Open our eyes and help us see. Remind us again and again that you have given enough so that we don't have to cling to what we have, whatever it is. We can give it to others, knowing that you provide for us. And if we create this economy of generosity, even if we do fall short and run out and don't have enough, there will be someone else to provide for our need. May we spread your goodness and grace and love in this community, this country, in this world. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus.